But today I'm especially excited because one of my dear friends, Terry and Deneen Hull, are here with us today. And Terry is our state U.S. missions director. So he is over all of our U.S. missionaries in Alaska and all of our missions works in this great state. And he does a wonderful job, and he travels all over the state into the deepest parts of the bush, and he shares the love and the life of Jesus, and he helps our missionaries and our pastors. And so today I'm delighted to have them here, and also I'm delighted because Terry's going to share his testimony. And Pastor Terry was diagnosed with cancer, and he had a slim chance to live, and God brought him through the storm. And so he's going to share his testimony today. So I want you to give a great, big, wonderful Summit welcome to Terry and Deneen today.
Thank you, Pastor. God bless you.
Wow, it's a privilege to be with you. Pastor, thanks for the opportunity to come and share. I'm excited to share my testimony. I've been able to do that some, and I appreciate this opportunity. But before I do that, I probably should give an update on what we're doing with missions. You know, if you didn't know, your church supports us as missionaries, and you have been for quite a few years, and we appreciate it. I work on three projects. You see like three different little things up there. 907 Alaska Home Missions, Camp AN, and outreach ministry. What I spend the majority of my time on is Alaska Home Missions. So what that is, if you go to the next slide, is I serve our superintendent and our presbytery as the home missions director. Nuts and bolts, what do? There's 31 churches right now that fall into missions category status, and I help support those, pastoral care, missionary care, recruiting people to come work on buildings, all of that, everything that goes with that. So I love doing that. That keeps me really busy. And as Pastor mentioned, I get to travel all around the state. So, you know, thank God for, you know, our network has really stepped up and been giving to Alaska Home Missions, and we're able to do all kinds of projects. I put in my newsletter that we're doing three. There's four. Besides Bethel, the Hub One initiative, where we're doing work in four different other buildings and facilities around the state. I can't believe I left one out. You guys are being involved in Huna, and I didn't put it in the newsletter, but anyway, the other three were are out in western and southeast Alaska as well. So it's my privilege and honor to serve in that way. I just absolutely love it. People always ask me, what do you really do? Well, a whole lot of my time I'm on the phone or traveling in person with missionary care, pastoral care. That's a lot of what I get to do. So, and I love being a part of that. If you go on, I with 907 Missions, we started doing a study to see where our what's called unreached villages. You heard that, like unreached villages, target villages. This was years ago. We started this study, and what came out of it, we have locations. Every one of those dots you see up there, that's the place that there's an opportunity, and they've invited us to come. They've said, please come here to our village. You know, we have several on there that we've been able to start going into, and exciting is one coming up. We had to reschedule Chivac on the west coast there. We're going to get to go out with and do a village crusade here in just in a few weeks. Looking forward to doing that as well. So please pray with us. I have also some new cards that we had. Boy, I dumped this all over the place here. Sorry about that. It just slid right out. Here we go again. So we have some new cards made up, and There's two initiatives I would ask you to pray with us on. The first, on this little card you see, there's a stack of them out there, is those villages that are in that little, in all those dots there. So all of these locations, please keep those in your prayers, if you would. You know, as we have opportunity, as personnel come along and we mobilize, we get people in there so that they can get the gospel into every one of these places. Our dream is to have somebody living there, consistently living the gospel out, discipling a local person, like permanently living there. You know what I'm saying? Like that's our dream. Until then, we're like sending people in on a rotating basis. And the bottom part of this card is probably the most important thing that I'm doing. And I call it the 300 by 30 initiative. This came in 2019 in the fall. I was at the Nome camp meeting praying for workers for the harvest, because we have open churches, we have places we need pastors, and we have these opportunities that you're seeing right here. We need workers for those. So the Holy Spirit really challenged me, Pastor Milt, to start thinking what he's thinking. What's he thinking? I'm thinking small. Before that, right, I'm thinking, we need workers. I wasn't like really aiming really high. I was just praying for workers, and the Holy Spirit challenged me, dream what I'm dreaming. What he's dreaming is that every church, every village has a church, has a pastor. And we started praying for 300 workers by the year 2030 to reach our villages in the state. So, you know, praise God, we've got a start. We've got a good start towards that. We've got a long ways to go. But would you join me in praying for workers for the harvest? That's the most important thing. That's the biggest flag, the biggest banner I can wave to you today. Please pray for our villages, workers, to get into these villages. So part of with the Alaska Home Missions is I think if you'll skip ahead maybe two slides, there's that card, there's another one. The part of what I get to do is recruiting pastors, and we created a video to recruit pastors and started putting it out. You know, sometimes people don't care because they don't know. So we're making the need known, getting the word out, and it's amazing how God is sending us people, and we've been able to connect. I put this video. I think the next slide has the video. I put it on places, and it just got like one social media got 1,200 views overnight. Like getting the need known. One guy called, sent me a message on Instagram, and said him and his wife were in the military. They had just signed up for their last 4 years, and they watched that video. They just came across it, and said they cried the whole time, because God is like, God's calling us to Alaska. So if you roll this video.
Alaska is a land of many peoples, abundant with resources and wildlife.
We have months of daylight and months of darkness. But the greatest darkness is our need for Jesus. As I look into the village and I see the need, an emptiness needs to be filled. And there's a people out here who are lonely and lost and looking for a source of happiness, but they never find that happiness because they look into drugs and alcohol, and depression comes.
You know, I remember growing up in the village and seeing just the different trauma that even people of my own age would go through, and I remember thinking, even at that age, like, this is not right, this should not be happening.
This hurts because many of my people were drowning in sin and darkness and need light.
Alaska needs laborers. We need people that are willing to go to the villages, go to these dark places to shine the light of Jesus and be able to walk alongside people and bring them from pain to purpose, to disciple them, to help them realize that God has a call and a destiny on their life.
The way I got saved and my family got saved was a missionary came to the village. Our village has seen the light. But there's so many villages that need the light of Jesus.
They're sitting in darkness and they're bound in addiction. And you know, you've got families and youth that are broken up and they're not with their family. But when they start to see the light come in and they start to see the love of Jesus shown, what hope that brings inside of people's hearts.
Deborah, come.
Are you ready to come? Are you ready to go to be planted in the villages of Alaska? Are you ready to say yes?
God's calling you.
40 years ago, I heard that there are over 100 villages in Alaska with no gospel witness. It was then that I responded to the call of God, and so we came. We came in search of spiritual gold. Alaska is a great state, but the reality is Alaska has people who do not know Jesus, and all these years later, we are still saying that there are 100 villages in Alaska that have no gospel witness.
Come to Alaska.
Are you ready to come and pour into some people in Alaska and be a part of what God's going to do?
Come into the land and share the gospel. And that's you.
Pastor, it's my desire to live long enough for us to progress so far that nobody can ever say those words again on 100 unreached villages. I don't know about you, my insides boil when I hear that. It's like I heard that I've been here we're working on our 28th year. It's like we can't just keep going. We've got to do something about this. So if the Lord allows me to live long enough and see this, I want this to get to a place that nobody can even say that. So rather than just talk about prayer, I'm going to ask you guys if you would just join me in praying for workers right now. Would you do that? Could you stand? I know you just sat down not long ago. If you're okay with standing, let's just lift these up. Lord, I know that you call people, and it comes from all kinds of different ways. There might be somebody watching this from who knows where. It could be from a TV show. It could be from a piece of printed material. But I know you call people to Alaska, from Alaska and from the Lower 48. Lord, we just ask you to call workers for the harvest. Lord, we ask you to send people to our villages. Send people to our state. Lord, to be workers in this great harvest field. Lord, we lift up all of these that are named on this. Akiachuk, Anituvik Pass, Arctic Village, Beaver, Chelkistik, Chivak, Circle, Kiktovik, Matarvik, Nulato, Nunamikwa, Rampart, Stony River, Tananaw, Vinatai. Lord, we lift you. Send people, send workers, Lord, to come into each of these places, we pray, in our open churches. We need more pastors. We have places that are, we have facilities and groups of people, and they need a pastor. Send pastors to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for joining me in prayer. I really do. I'm not kidding you. I think this is the most important thing that I am doing, is asking people to pray. Boy, these things keep falling off here. So I think we have a few little items bling back there on the table. Anybody like stickers? We have several different kinds of stickers, and we have our prayer cards back there, as well as these touch cards about the open or opportunities that we have in locations around the state. So I also have, if you go on forward, I think there's a, if you point your phone at that, it has a way to find our social media connections. I'm not like on everything out there, but I'm like on a lot of different social media things and trying to, getting news and information and needs and opportunities out there. So if you want to follow us on something there, we'll be glad to share that with you. And we have a private Facebook group that I put our travel schedule and prayer requests on. And if you would like to be a part of that, you have to let me know, because I have to send you an invitation. You can't find it. So if you want to be a part of that prayer group, I would appreciate that as well, because prayer is vitally important. You know, as missionaries, we covet your prayers. And as I'm going to share my testimony a little bit here in just a few minutes. I can't tell you how important your prayers have been in our lives, and how important they are for missionaries that you guys are part of and other ministries. And prayer is crucial. It opens doors. It changes governments. It does all kinds of things, and it provides support for us. Sometimes people are going through, you may not even realize what's happening in one of your missionaries' lives, a missions family that you might support. But please keep all of your missions family in prayer. We covet your prayers. We really do. So as Pastor Milt mentioned, you know, sometimes we go through things, unexpected challenges in our journey along this life. And we face that. It's been a few days ago, but on April, I have to back up to where I'm supposed to be here. On April 21st, 2020, Danine and I went in to the doctor. There was some stuff going on. I knew something was happening, and I went in, and I heard words that I didn't think I would ever hear. I didn't ever plan on hearing any kind of a diagnosis like this. And in fact, I didn't even have a doctor. When all of this started with me, I asked a doctor friend of mine. He goes to the church at MCA. I said, "Would you be my doctor?" Because I didn't need a doctor. It wasn't like I didn't have the need for a doctor. God has always healed us, and I've never had the need for a doctor. And so we're going through the whole process, and April 21st, 2020, we heard the words, "You have esophageal cancer." And I wasn't expecting to hear that. I wasn't ever thinking I would ever hear it. So I think I have a picture of a picture that's in my office that kind of, it's a visual of what was going on in our lives. It was like this raging storm. Anybody heard those words? Anybody hear something like, you hear stuff spoken over you, like there's no hope, you know, you have no chance. In the midst of that raging storm, we had perfect peace right in the middle of this incredible battle that's going on. And one of the passages that God spoke to us through was in 2 Kings chapter 3. And I want to read some of that and kind of go through some what we can pull out of it, some of the truth. And as I'm going today, I'll read some scriptures, and I'll tell some testimony of some stuff. But Danine and I, from day one, Danine was able to go to that first appointment and one other one through this entire process. But driving across town from day one, God spoke to us, said, "I got this. Trust me. I'm going to heal you here." He's like, here on this planet, right? He wasn't going to take me home. He's like, "I'm going to heal you here." So we stood on that. We had that faith. We stood on that word from that day. And reading through the Old Testament every year, I ran across this right shortly after 2 Kings chapter 3. I have it in the New Living Translation here this morning. And if you want to follow along, I don't have it on the screen. But it says in verse 5, "But after Ahab's death, the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. So King Joram promptly mustered the army of Israel and marched from Samaria. On the way, he sent this message to King Jehoshaphat of Judah. 'The king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you join me in battle against him?' And Jehoshaphat replied, 'Well, of course, you and I are as one. My troops are your troops. My horses are your horses.'" In verse 8, "Then Jehoshaphat asked, 'What route will we take?' Will we attack from the wilderness of Edom? Joram replied in verse 9, the king of Edom and his troops joined them, and the three armies traveled around, and the New Living says, roundabout route through the wilderness for 7 days. But, that's like such a small word, but it changes everything, doesn't it? There was no water for their men nor their animals. Verse 10, what should we do? The king of Israel cried out. The Lord has brought the three of us here to let the king of Moab defeat us. But King Jehoshaphat of Judah asked, is there no prophet of the Lord with us? If there is, we can ask the Lord what to do through him. One of King Joram's officers replied, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here. He used to be Elijah's personal assistant. In verse 12, Jehoshaphat said, yes, the Lord speaks through him. So the king of Israel, King Jehoshaphat of Judah, and the king of Edom went to consult with Elisha. Verse 13, why are you coming to me? Elisha says. He says, go to the pagan prophets of your fathers and mothers. But King Joram of Israel says, no, for it was the Lord who called us three kings here, only to be defeated by the king of Moab. You notice a pattern here? God brought us here to kill us. I'm not watering it down there. Elisha replied, as surely as the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, I wouldn't even bother with you except for my respect for King Jehoshaphat of Judah. Now bring me someone who can play the harp. While the harp was being played, the power of the Lord came upon Elisha. And then verse 16, and he said, this is what the Lord says. This dry valley will be filled with pools of water. You will see neither wind nor rain, says the Lord, but this valley will be filled with water. You will have plenty for yourselves and your cattle and other animals. And then in verse 18, it says, but this, water in a desert, this is only a simple thing for the Lord. For he will make you victorious over the army of Moab. In verse 20, it says, the next day, about the time when the morning sacrifice was offered, that water suddenly appeared everywhere. It was flowing from the direction of Edom. Soon there was water everywhere. Let's pray. Lord, I am so thankful for your word. And as we go through this passage and we talk about testimony and stories, I pray that great faith would be built for in this house. I pray, God, that not one person in here would look at me and go, oh, wow, look at him. And they would look to you, God, what you did through this. Lord, the glory and the honor, the praise is all yours, God. I pray that you would glorify yourself today in this place. I pray for a great faith to be built up in this place, God. If there's somebody here that's discouraged, I pray, God, that that would be broken off and great faith would enter in. Lord, if there's somebody that's not right with you today, that today they would become right. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is a normal response in those days. So the new king came into power. So the surrounding kings, they got together to go see if he could, how strong he was. So in the New Living, it says they went the roundabout way. They went not what was expected, not the shortest route. They went around, and they went the roundabout way through the wilderness of Edom. Now, I haven't been to the Holy Land, but I looked at today's annual rainfall in this region, it's less than 4 inches a year. That's really dry. I've never lived in a place that dry. Some of you might have come from Southeast Alaska, it rains all the time, 4 inches a year, it's like you get 4 inches in a day, But 4 inches a year is dry, it's a desert. They're at the end of their rope. They're like, if God doesn't intervene, they're dead, right? They're at one of those places. You ever been at one of those? Sadly, I've been there multiple times. I wish I didn't have that testimony. It's hard to live through it. But I've been there several times where God, if God doesn't do something right now, if he doesn't intervene, I'm gone. And that's where these troops were. They were at that place where it is truly a life and death situation, because there's no water anywhere. And God says, I'm not sending a storm. He says, it's just going to appear. And it did. It appeared. It was a critical situation. But you notice in that story, there's two very different responses. The one king, King Joram, verses 10 and 13. Remember how he responded? You know, God brought us here to kill us. It's like, oh, we're going to die. Like, it's fear. He responded in fear. Like, oh, this is like, I don't know. Can I just be really transparent? As humans living in this human world, there's people that want to line up to tell you you can't, or this is bad, or whatever. You know, it's out there, right? Doubt and unbelief, and people, even sometimes well-intending people, speak things that don't speak faith. They speak fear, and they might even not intend to speak fear, but that's a propensity. We're like automatically given to this attack of fear. I don't have the number written down here. I did a study on this. I think it's 280. It's like almost 300 times that the Bible says something along the lines of have courage, be strong, you know, be strong. Don't. So if you look up those phrases, it's like some people would stretch out that out and say it's even enough for one every day. God's told us time after time after time after time in the Bible to not give in to fear. Don't let it have a place in your life. It's like, be strong, be of courage, and step up. We're told that. It's one of the most popular things in the Bible, all throughout, in the Old Testament and New. Being strong. Well, the fear that I'm talking about, it's not reverence for God. The Bible talks about fear as in reverence, respect, and honor for God. There's passages that talk about that. It says the fear of the Lord is what? It's the foundation of knowledge. And but the fear that we're talking about is not trusting in God's ability to take care of us. Let's break it down there. What is it, really is it? It's we're facing something that is so big and so impossible that we give up on God's ability to take care of us. And we're like, okay. And when you hear those words, the doctors told me, if this is true and if this is what it is, you have a 3% chance to be alive in 5 years. You know, fear wants to jump on you when you hear those words, right? Fear wants to come in, and you have to like raise up a standard. You have to like, no, God doesn't give fear. God gives. I'm gonna respond in faith. I'm gonna like, well, I'm one of those 3%. You know. So my kids asked me. This is in the height of COVID. We did a Zoom call to tell my family that this diagnosis. Right? How horrible. Right? You can't even do it in person. And our daughter's in California and all of our grandkids down there. So that wasn't really a good thing either. So on Zoom, we're like telling them and they're like, okay, so what do they say? And I was like, well, they say it's that at best I got a 3% chance. And they're like, wait. I'm one of those three because God is with us. And God is going to take us through this. Don't like give in to faith, to fear. Fight with faith. So King Joram, he's like, what, you know, God's brought us here to kill us. I mean, we always have people that whether they intend to or not, you know, that it ushers in doubt and unbelief. You know, you tell people that the first thing that we did is we did not tell very many people at all. It started a very small circle. And it was my pastor, ministry, prayer partner, people. And we actually had an online Zoom call. And yes, your pastor was in on it. And we prayed for healing for Terry. I wanted people to stand up and say, I'm fighting in faith with you. God is going to take you through this. I didn't need people like one person that I felt obligated to tell, told me basically, they didn't say it exactly this way, but this is what they said: I'm sorry, you're going to die. That's not what you want to hear, right? You want people like, I'm fighting with you. I'm praying and fasting with you. Our church, our leadership team, Pastor Mild asked, can I have my elders play? Well, absolutely. We want people of faith to pray with us. Not that we just like somehow skim through this, right? Somehow we like barely survive through it or whatever, or lead the doctor's hand. I'm not opposed to that kind of stuff, but it's like we want people to stand in faith that God's going to heal, that God's going to step in and intervene and bring healing. So we have a choice. Are we going to respond in fear or in faith? I'm not going to talk anymore about fear, right? The Bible says a lot about it. If you want more scriptures, I've got a whole pile of them here. But I want to talk more about how we respond in faith. And how do we go forward with this? So the first thing that we see in this story here is that King Jehoshaphat, he says, is there not somebody here that hears from God? Now, this is the old covenant. Remember, this is old covenant. The Spirit has been released to everybody now. But there's like, is there somebody here that hears from God? And it's like, what does God say about this? What does God say about your situation? That's what we need to dwell on. We need to pray. We need to read. We need to read God's word. We need to look to God, the solution, the solver of the crisis. We need to look to Him and put our faith and our trust in Him. So the first thing I'd say is respond in faith by applying the truth of the scriptures. The truth of the scriptures. The 2 Timothy, I talked about, you know, God hasn't given a spirit of fear, but power, love, sound mind. Deuteronomy says, be strong and of good courage. He says, don't fear, be afraid, for the Lord, God Himself is with us. How can we respond in faith? Because God has promised multiple times, He is with us. You cannot go through anything that He won't be with you every inch of the way through it. Anything that you face, He will be with you every inch of the way. He will not abandon you. He won't leave you. He says in Isaiah 41:10, fear not. I am with you. Don't be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. God says, I will help you. Did you get that? God says, He says He will help us. He says, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I did a word study on that one time, righteous right hand, what that's symbolizing. That's a really interesting study to study that out. There's a lot about the right hand of God in the scriptures. I had no idea there was so much. And so many scriptures. I have a whole teaching I could do on that, and I'm not going to this morning. It's so incredible what the right hand of God symbolizes. You know, 3 weeks into my hospital stay, so I'm jumping around in my story, I did sign up for chemo radiation, 6 weeks radiation every day, chemo, 6 weeks of rest, surgery. Did an esophagectomy. It was something we prayed about, and we decided to sign up for treatment to do this. And at this point, we just the whole way. I actually made them take extra tests before they started doing things. I made them, and they told me you might have to pay for this. This test is $8,000. You might have to pay for it out of your pocket. We don't know if the insurance company's going to pay for it. But I made him do it. I said, I refuse to do surgery until you prove to me again that it's still there. Because we're just like, God's going to take it. God's got it. God's got it. We are praying that God would take it and there's no surgery needed, right? We're like, that's what we're praying specifically. And I you know, finish that story. We didn't have to pay for that extra test, but somehow they made a way. The insurance company paid for it. But it's like, yeah, I wanted God to heal before. I didn't want to go through. I wanted to go over and above and out of, right? I wanted the easy button. Hit that easy button, right? 35 years ago, our daughter was healed of leukemia. She'll be 40 this year. She was 5 years old. God told us, or the doctor told us, that she had leukemia, and God healed her instantly, right in one moment. So thoroughly, couldn't find any sign of leukemia in her body. A few years later, Deneen was looking at having to have a hysterectomy. I know she just stepped out. I hope she doesn't. I don't get in trouble for this, but she had cysts. She had things going on, and we had an evangelist come to the church. We went. I don't know what the altar call was for, but we went down there for healing. God healed her that night. Like 2 days later, they're going in and they're looking at, and it's not there anymore. There's nothing. God healed her. We fast forward a few more years, and our son is at Little Beaver Bible Camp playing winter camp, playing basketball. He landed on somebody's foot, rolled his ankle. They called us and said, he's broke his ankle. And we said, well, how do you know that? And they said, well, the bone's almost sticking through the skin, and it's crooked. And we're like, okay, we went to the emergency room. We prayed for him, and he walked out of there with an ACE bandage on. They said, well, I guess it's sprained. Could I keep going? You get the idea. It's like I've told all, you know, 20 years ago, I came back from a trip in Western Alaska, and then they told me I had hepatitis. I had 14 days of high fever. I was getting ready to go in to get tested, and I'm sitting in my pickup in the carport outside, getting ready to go to the doctor, and I turned on started to pick up, and the worship music started playing, and I just lifted my hands and I started worshiping God right there sitting in my pickup, and God just swept over me. In that instance, I felt like a fire start from the end of my toenails, went all through my body, just this intense, incredible intense heat, and they never found anything, not anything at all. God healed me. So I tell you all that, it's like, here we go again, easy button. God's going to heal it right now. I'm not going to have to go through anything. Well, God didn't bring healing that way this time. And so we went through all of this stuff. I was telling you I went through chemo, radiation. I never got one single, every day I had radiation for 6 weeks. I didn't even get sore skin. People like get all kinds of stuff. My hair got white, but it didn't fall out because one of the nurses is like, well, you're really blessed. You have such good genes because it's not affecting you. It's like, well, my genes might have something to do it, but the reason my hair didn't fall out, because my wife is praying my hair doesn't fall out. It's important to her. My wife was praying, God, let Terry keep his hair. And God did. He let me keep my hair. You know, it's not near as important to a guy, but it was something that she was praying about and needed. You know, we saw God do amazing things all just like all throughout this. Like God just kept doing incredible things. Well, here's the situation where we're commanding. And we're speaking to cancer cells, and we're telling you got to die. You're evicted. You can't be in my body anymore. And I pray that if you have cancer and you want me to pray with you, I will pray that very prayer with you. We did that for a season. I don't know how long it was. For several weeks, we were like, we're commanding. We're speaking to it, and we're declaring. And there was a season that God, it was pretty early on in this entire process, that God took us from that to both of us at the same time. This is what we felt. Now we just start praising God for the healing that's on the way. It's not manifest yet. So, Pastor, it was like it was done in the heavenlies, but it wasn't manifest. It was like it was unlocked. The plan was all set in place. But we just didn't see any of it yet. And the Holy Spirit just moved us into this. God, we thank you for the healing that's on the way. Well, I wish I could say that was just a few months before that healing was complete, but no, it wasn't. It was a season before that healing was completed. But I want to take just a couple minutes and talk about the disappointment that can come when we're praying very specifically and commanding healing and we're speaking life, and sometimes it doesn't come the way we are praying specifically. In fact, there's a lot of times it doesn't come the way that we're praying. And how do we deal with that? And how do we get through that? It can actually cause an offense. We can actually be offended or even be angry at God because he didn't answer that prayer like I was praying it. You ever been there? I know people all the time that it's like, well, God, for whatever reason, he didn't answer my prayer. So this can lead us to unbelief. And so that can take us out of the game with faith. It can like hinder our faith. Like, well, God didn't heal this friend or that person or my relative. It's like God didn't heal them, so I don't know if he really heals. You know, that can take us out of the game. So how do we overcome this? Well, first of all, I would say by focusing on what Jesus is doing, instead of what he's not doing. Do you get that? So if we just constantly look at what's not happening, and we don't look at what is happening, it can take us down a wrong road. Edward Bosworth in 1910 wrote, he says, "What gets your attention gets you." What gets your attention gets you. What we're focusing on. We know that, right? Whatever we're looking at, whatever we're like focusing on, that's what we're drawn to. You ever seen a little kid and they start riding a bike and they start riding a bike and looking this way? Where does the bike go? You know, you drive in your car. When you first start driving, you'd like, look, where does the car go? You know, I grew up training horses in Kansas. It's like, you know how you get a horse to turn? Like, you just pull their head around here, and eventually they'll turn because their head's over here, right? We go where our attention is. So we need to focus on what Jesus is doing and not just get so caught up on what he's not doing. And we can't force God into healing our way. It just doesn't happen that way. God's sovereign. Most likely all of us know people that weren't healed the way we prayed. And, you know, early on I had dreams, Pastor, that I coughed up this tumor. It was in my esophagus. I have a very vivid dream. I still remember it. I coughed it up. I put it in a jar and I was showing it to people. Look what God did. You know how much I wanted that? I wanted that. I wanted God to heal me that way. But God, I'm healed, but God didn't heal me like that. So we can be scratching our heads and wondering, why didn't God intervene? Why did he heal this person, not that person? Why did he heal Terry, but didn't heal your loved one? You know, I could be on this side of the fence and say, you know, I could not share my story because of fear of offending you, because God healed me. Is like, I could... Did that make sense to you? I could be like the victim. I could just not talk about it because I don't want you to be upset that God, you know, because all of us know people that weren't healed the way we're praying. You know, there's a pastor that lost his wife to cancer in a church that sees all kinds of miracles. They've seen so many people healed of cancer right in their church. And one of his comments is, he's like, I work for God. He doesn't work for me. He said, God's not a vending machine. You don't put a dollar in or $5 and push the button. You get your prayer answered your way, period. God's sovereign. We can't force him. I've said this before, God's not a genie. We don't get like wishes and say, you can pick the way your prayer's answered. We can't let, friends, we cannot let our experience supersede the truth of the of God's word. Our experience can't cloud the truth of the scriptures. There's all kinds of forefathers that went before us that had great healing ministries that faced down even healing in their own body. Even while they're standing praying for people and seeing people healed, they're needing a healing themselves, right? We see all kinds of that. Don't let your challengers or disappointment. So repent for unbelief. Ask God to help us change our minds. Be honest to God. Be honest to Him. He knows what we're thinking anyway. Listen to His Word. Read His Word. I started in this. It's like, so the Word of God, the faith comes by hearing, by the Word. I'm like, I want more faith. Like, right? I told you some of the miracles, but we're still like even challenged. We're like, God, help, we believe, but help us believe even more. Help us with our unbelief. And the first thing that I did, this Bible was the newest one I had, and it's I use a app on YouVersion called it uses the New Living Translation, and I like having a printed version, so I bought this New Living Translation, and so it didn't have any marks in it, Pastor. So I started in Genesis, and I started highlighting every single passage that had anything to do with healing, like every single one, and that's what I dwelt on 24/7. That's everything that what does the Bible say? What does God say about healing? What does He say? You know, you got the world, you got science, you got this, but what does God say? Dwelling on what God says, focusing on what He says. And I got to the point where it kind of reached a high mark one night. I was laying in bed and I couldn't go to sleep because my Bible was in the other room. I became so addicted to reading my Bible that I couldn't even go sleep because it was in the other room, and I had to go get it and bring it with me. Yes, I did. I put it in my bed. It's like I'm fighting for my life, right? I'm fighting for my life, and I'm standing on this truth. And it came time for the surgery, and I took this Bible with me. I wouldn't go in the other room of my house without it. Why would I go to the hospital without it? So I argued with them, and they ultimately, they said, I told them, I'm not going in there. I am not leaving this. And I made them swear that it wouldn't leave my bed. and this Bible was with me. And why was that so important to me? Because I'm standing on the truth of the scriptures. Before, when I'm like facing death and there was a really important surgery going on, I had it open to Psalm 103. I have this highlighted, Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Let all that I am praise the Lord. You know, in the operating room, they flew a surgeon in from the lower 48, and he's the one that they volunteered to read this over me before they did the surgery. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise His holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things He does for me. He forgives all my sins and He heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death. And He crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. What does the Bible say? How do we get faith? We read the Bible. We listen to the Bible. I highly recommend. I highlighted outline passages. I started to sit down and I recorded a few of them, and I'm like, I looked on YouTube, and you know, there's even like a 12-hour healing scriptures, instrumental music, and nice stuff. People have already done this. And so I had healing scriptures being all the time in our house, healing scriptures being going out. What does the Bible say? What does God say? Faith is a gift. You know, I told you I was praying, you know, asking God for more faith and studying. And I think I got every book that I could find on Amazon Kindle that had anything to do with faith, and I'm devouring books, the scriptures, like, God help me with faith. It's like, I know, I just need more, I want, if there's something out there. And what God really spoke to me through that time is like, faith is a gift, and the only thing that we can do is go to Him to receive it. We can't, like, conjure it up, you know what I'm saying? We can't, like, do something to get it except go to Him and receive it. So we just ask Him for more faith. Faith. Increase my faith. And the disciples prayed in Luke 17:5, He says, increase our faith. Testimonies also increase our faith. Testimonies, I put it this way, testimonies fertilize the soil that faith grows in. When you listen to testimonies where God did something, where God reached and did something, there isn't anything that's too hard or difficult for Him. You know, in our passage, it says, this is only a simple thing. You know, God spoke to us early on and said, healing from cancer is no different. It's not hard for God. You know, to be transparent, when I first was battling this, I was like, okay, this is a big one. Do you really have this, God? You really have this? You know, we gauge things, right? Some things are easier than others. It's like, okay, God, do you really have this? He's like, yeah, I got it. Just trust me, I got it. It's only a simple thing for Him. Don't respond in fear when something happens. Respond in faith. Find out what the Bible says about it. Dwell on what it says. Put your faith and trust in Him. Ask Him for more. One of my friends, he got a diagnosis of cancer about the same time that I did. And I kept texting, God's going to heal you, God's going to heal you. And I got my first all clear. I texted him and said, you know, I got an all clear. Yours is on the way, you know. God's going to heal you, God's going to heal you. And guess what happened? He got worse and worse. And they sent him back to his village to pass away at home. And they told him when he was leaving, there was nothing they can do. He said he had maybe a week, 6 weeks at the most. He was at the end of the line. But I just kept, there's this faith. I just like kept, God's going to heal you. God's going to heal you. God's gonna heal you. He went home and a week goes by and he starts getting a little better. Time goes by. He just doesn't die, right? And some of the symptoms he's having, they start going away. They brought him back to Anchorage, and this has been 3.5 years ago. They still can't find one single cancer cell in his body. Can't find a single one. God stepped in and brought healing. Now, you could say a lot about that. It's like, He told me later on, he said, Terry, he says, not only did I not have faith, he said, I was mad at God because He healed you and He's not healing me. He's just being transparent. He's like, I was mad at God. He's a native man, and he was saying, he was angry at God and yelling, God, do you only heal Gussex? Do you heal people like me? And God stepped in and brought healing. God brought healing in his life. It's a simple thing for God. What is it that you need from God today? What is it that you're facing? You know, you could be facing something that seems, may not seem as life-threatening, but it still needs God to step in, no matter how big or small. Let me throw that in. Small. God cares about small things too. No matter how big or small, it's not hard for him to bring healing, even to cancer. It's not hard. It's not hard for him to restore your marriage. I feel like that's a word for somebody today. Somebody, you came in today. I wrote it down in my phone. It's, you came in today and you actually said, if God doesn't do something, my marriage is gone. God can do something about that today. It's not hard for him. What about addictions? God can release you instantly from addictions. It's only a simple thing. Deliverance. It's a simple thing for God. So where am I at in my healing journey? I know it's right after 12, and I want to spend some time praying with people. Where am I at in my healing journey? So 641 days ago. Who's counting? If you've ever been down a road like this, you understand exactly what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm counting. I count every day. Every day is a bonus. 641 days ago, I was at a point. I want to describe it. I want to just tell you where it was. I had bounced back and forth, all clear, recurrence. And the one place, they tried to get it. They couldn't get it. It went from 1 to 3 in 1 month. It was growing really fast. They moved me to palliative care. They said, you can't be cured anymore. I can honestly say we were not upset when they told us that. We weren't upset because our faith is in God. They moved me to palliative care, and I had gone out to campaign. I had signed up for some immunotherapy. It was pills. And I'd gone out to camp. I had to come back because 1% of people, it has an adverse effect on you, and it, like, backfires. Well, I guess I happened to be one of the one, and it started getting me. It was killing me. I was dying, and I came back from camp, and I was able to walk the first a day or so, but it quickly, in just a few days, it went to the place I couldn't walk because the bottom of my feet were swollen up huge. I couldn't eat or drink because of the pain. Even taking pain meds, it would just, if I drank anything or ate anything, it just put me on the floor. I couldn't even straighten my body up because of the pain. They had no idea what's going on. They're trying to figure this out. Deneen is taking me over to the hospital in a wheelchair, and they're putting IVs in me. And all of this has progressed. Again, this is the third time I'm at death's door. This is the third time that I'm there. If God doesn't intervene, I'm gone. I went to bed on June 22nd, 2022. And Deneen and I had talked, and she had gone to work, but we were like, if God doesn't step in, I'm gone. And I went to bed, and right before I was falling asleep, I was laying on my left side. I felt 3 drops, wet places, on my cheek. And I'm like, wow, that's really strange. I felt of it, and there was nothing that came off on my hand, and I didn't feel goosebumps. I didn't feel heat. I didn't feel, it was the most non-supernatural experience you could, you know what I'm saying? Other than just feeling like, I'm telling you this on purpose, because when God heals, there's no formula. It's not like always feel heat, always feel this. It's like, it's different. I felt nothing else. I didn't feel any other goosebumps or heat or nothing like that. I went to sleep. I woke up about 7 hours later. I feel different, you know, because I could feel death. I was at that point where I was right there. It's like, if I know that if God doesn't step in, it's just a matter of time and I'm gone, probably not very long. And I woke up and I felt different. And I put my feet over the side of the bed and putting my feet, putting weight on it. It's like, sure enough, it didn't. My feet didn't hurt. And I'm like, yes. I went in and looked in the mirror. My mouth at that time was full of blisters. And I opened my mouth and looked, and they were completely gone. You know, the swelling in my feet had gone down overnight. And there was no pain at all. Blisters in my mouth were gone. I went in, I drank something. I'm like, okay, I drank something, no pain. I ate something, no pain. God healed me. Three times, three drops hit me. And it was the most incredible turnaround you've ever seen. Like, the most incredible thing. Ever since then, I've been collecting these. These are all clear scans, right? Every one of these is where there used to be. This is the first one where there used to be cancer cells and there's not anymore. I have medical proof that God heals. I appreciate doctors. I appreciate what doctors do. And they can do amazing things to help your body. But your body's what heals. God's one that supernaturally heals. He brought healing in that day. But it did challenge our faith. As I wrap this up, I want to tell one story about faith that, and I hope I don't embarrass her too much. My wife is here. I don't think I've told this story when she's present. I was in septic shock in the hospital, and they were getting ready to do a surgery on me to clean me out. I was shutting down, and blood pressure tanked. My heart was racing, and I had so many things going on. And they called Deneen and said she had just got off work. They called her and said, Terry's in septic shock, and we're going to have to take him in and try to clean him out. We just want you to know you can't come seeing, but he's not going to make it. And that was about 7:30 in the morning. I asked her later on, you know, what did she do during that day? I said, did you call the prayer team? You know, your prayer team didn't even know about this. And this is why. I said, did you call the prayer team? And she's like, you tell our kids? She's like, no, I didn't tell anybody. Because God's already told us he's got this. Just trust him. She sat there all day till 9:30 that night. She heard from him and said, well, he did make it through the surgery. Faith. Like total, absolute, 100% trust. In something that there's no sign of it being real, but believing that it's real. Knowing that God's got this, he's taken us through it, and there's no sign of it. We're not getting doctor's reports saying that this, you know, that didn't come till later. Now we have doctors, we have proof now that God heals. Praise God. Praise God. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, I pray that people's faith would be grown, challenged this morning. Lord, and if first of all, very first thing, if there's somebody here, the Bible says it's appointed unto man wants to die. Every one of us is terminal. And if there's somebody here that they're like, I don't know what I would be like if I was facing death like you were talking about. If there's somebody here today that's not really sure if they're right with you, this moment I pray, God, that you would help them know, help them know that you would save them today. Before we move on, let's just deal with that. See, like you're in the room or you're online, maybe it's even in the future. You're like, you know, I'm not really sure when I'm standing before God, because someday I'm going to, I'm not really sure if I'm right with God. You got sin in your life. If you're here this morning, you're listening online later, I got great news for you. You can be sure today. The Bible says that we admit, we confess our sin, we believe in Jesus, and we commit our life to Him. All you need to do is pray a prayer. Believe in your heart. Just believe it from in here and say something along the lines of, Lord Jesus, forgive me, for I have sinned. I give my life to you today. Come and cleanse me. Make me a new person. I choose to live for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Maybe as we've been talking about this, you're dealing with something that you need God to step in. It's here you are, you're at a place, and you need God to intervene. Well, great news. It's not about me. It's about God, and He's here today to intervene in your life. It's not, we're only a conduit. Healing comes through us to people, but God's the one that heals. God's the healer. He's here today to heal you. He's here today to restore your marriage. He's here today to set you free from addiction. He's here to heal your body. Another thing, would you guys stand? Would you join me standing? Something else that I wrote down and I feel like, you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit gives us specific things like the first one was the marriage, somebody in their marriage. Another one was somebody's got something going on. It's like in here. I don't know what it is, but it's in here. All I know is over here. It's somebody's got something going on, like lower right side right here. You got something going on. God wants to heal it today. Is that anybody? Anybody in listening? You got something going on. You need healing. Something happened. Yes. Anybody else? You know, God does this to bring healing. There's other things as well that God wants to heal this morning. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come down to the front and join us. And as we, the next few minutes here, and then I'll pastor will step in and lead us from that point. But the next few minutes, I want to pray with people. We want people, if you need healing in your body, if you need a touch, you need somebody deliverance, you got something going, you need God to intervene today, I want to ask you to come down, and we'd love to pray with you. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to connecting with you next time. And don't forget, you can support us by giving through the Church Center app or by going online at summitwc.com/give.